Welcome to Life Between the Young Eye. I'm your host, Ed White, and this is the podcast where we discuss relations, mental health, finance, and other modern issues young individuals are impacted by. Enjoy. All right, so currently we are talking about politics. We're just kind of freestyling this. There's really nothing scheduled. We're just going back and forth. But I do have my good friend here, Amani. Say hello to the people, Amani.
Hello, everybody.
Give yourself a little brief introduction.
My name is Amani. Me and Sid have been knowing each other for... How long would you say, Sid?
Wow, I forgot that quick.
About 2020. So about 4 years now. We've been really, really, really good friends. And I have been asking him to invite me on here for quite some time. So I'm finally happy that I'm on here.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's past due time, but we here.
Yeah, definitely past due. We made it though.
Amen. Amen. Well, once again, highly appreciate you being on here. Even though it's been like 4 years, like you said, but, no shade. We're not going to throw any shade here. You know, this is a friendly conversation, but yeah, today's topic, as you've seen by the title, we're just talking about politics and, just going to ask her some questions. We're going to get her feedback and we're just going to go back and forth. So I guess to start off, and do you think there should be an age limit on politics? Why or why not?
Define age limit. Like, do you mean age limit as far as when you can run, age limit as far as when you can vote? Define age limit.
Age limit as in there needs to stop. Like, you're too old to be president or you're too old to be governor. Like, that's what you're tapped out, you're done.
Yeah, I was about to say that next. I'm kind of yes and no on that question. I feel like, yeah, you should, like, after some time, yeah, it should be a cutoff, but at the same time, that's ageism. But I would say, honestly, although I am yes and no, I don't know, I guess I would have to say yes, that I do believe that there should be a cutoff, because once you enter into, like, a certain age, I feel like sometimes for some people there could be kind of a disconnect, you know, when you're 70 plus trying to connect with maybe like a younger audience to get the, you know, their vote and different things like that. So I think, yeah, there could be a cutoff after a while.
So you said yes and no, or you just said yes?
Yeah, I was yes and no at first, but now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, yeah, probably is. Yes.
So I'm assuming that. No, you're good. So I'm assuming that you're excited about Kamala Harris, you know, a new younger face that's running this country. Yes. Though Biden, he did his job.
Yes, he did. I'm excited about Kamala. I love everything that she stands for, and I'm just very excited to see this presidential election. I think the DNC, which happened a few days ago, the DNC was amazing. I wish I could have been attending. Like, it was amazing.
It was.
To see the different people who spoke. Of course, Michelle Obama had the best speech of the night over the course of all 3 days. You know, she had the best speech, but I mean, it's Michelle Obama. Like, why, you know, not to be expected. But yeah, it was amazing to see the rallying, the support. It was just nice. I think, you know, the Democrats, the Dems, they got it right with this situation. Watching the RNC, it was so boring. It looked like something that could have been just sent in an email.
Wait, when was the RNC?
Last week. It was the week before the DNC, I believe.
Jeez. I bet Trump was talking a lot of crap in that one, too. I would imagine.
Yeah, he actually addressed different, you know, topics, because the Obama spoke, Al Sharpton spoke. Actually, the central, the exonerated five, they spoke out against Trump. Because, you know, when their trial was going on, he was very adamant about, you know, them being guilty. So they got a chance to speak out and all types of stuff like that. So jeez. You know,
no,
it was awesome to see.
No, and I agree. And, the way things are going and the way the numbers are looking, as I've been watching the news, there's a chance you might get this in November. But like I said, I'm not going to jinx or anything. I don't want anything to jinx. But for what I'm seeing right now, I mean.
So who are you rooting for, Sydney?
You will ask me this on this podcast.
Just out of curiosity.
No, no, you're good. You're good. You're good. I'll be honest. I'll be honest with the people. Me personally.
You're a Trump supporter.
Okay, hold on now. Okay, hold on. Let's back it up.
Oh, no, wait a minute. No, because this is the news to me, too. Okay, hold on. Let's see. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I'm not a Trump supporter. Let's just get that out the way, first and foremost. But I am getting more into politics. I'm trying to educate myself more. But as of right now, who I would choose, don't hate me for this. I would go with Kamala as well. I'm going with Kamala. One, we don't have a, based on Donald Trump's history when he was president the first 4 years, it wasn't looking too good, right? So, I mean, we don't really have much of an option. I mean, why wouldn't you choose Kamala if you're not a Republican, obviously? But, I mean, just based on the things that Trump has done and got away with and is still able to run for president, I'm like, this man is a felon. He's a convicted felon. But yet, he still has the right to run for president. Tell me how that makes sense. All that is just money, power, and I hate to say it, but the white supremacy. The way I look at it. Now, I don't want to offend anybody. But if we're going to keep it a buck, that's what it is. Would you agree or would you not agree?
I would definitely agree. There's been nobody in history that's been a convicted felon who has had the opportunity to, you know, run for president. Convicted felons can't even vote. So, you know, the fact that he's still able to run for president is very, very crazy and just shows that this system, he has the complexion for the protection, obviously.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. What's that one more time?
Complexion for the protection.
That's a bar. That's a bar. Girl, you might be in the wrong field. You might need to be a rap artist. That was a bar. No, I 100% agree, though. But, I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, this is America. And most of Americans will vote for Trump. So I'm actually very curious to see how this goes. It's very close.
A lot of Americans fear what it is that they don't know. I think that they fear that, you know, plus, I feel like it's also became so divided. You know, it's either you're right or you're left. Like, I don't think there's any gray area in there. It's, you know, you're black or white. There's no gray. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, with us being in America, I feel like because who we are as a country, you have the right to choose, support, do any and everything it is that you want to do. But as far as you know, what is it that I'm trying to say?
Take your time.
As far
time.
As where we stand politically right now, I think that although we may not be able to agree on everything, I think that there are some things that we should be able to agree on, you know, general things that regardless of whether you agree with LGBTQ or not, they deserve rights just as much as anybody else. I think that we can all agree that school shootings, you know, and all types of stuff like that, and being able to get a hold of, you know, major weapons, you know, assault rifles like AR-15s and, you know, stuff like that, AK-47s, should be made harder. And I think, you know, there should be different things put in place as far as backgrounds. I think we can all agree as Americans on that. You know, I feel like we just, to kind of go in a little bit deeper on that, when it comes down to mass shootings, I feel like we have been so desensitized behind it because there have been so many for years. And, you know, it's just certain things that I think we can agree on. And I think, honestly, with the right side, I think they fear what it is that they don't know. Honestly, and I think that they fear what they don't know and possibly want to take away the power of knowledge from other people. Like specifically taking out, you know, important figures of history and Black history and other things, and, you know, not really talking about America's history when it comes down to slavery and things that people of color have had to experience. But we could talk about World War II and, you know, Europe and Germany and the Jews and, you know, Hitler. We could talk about that all day, every day. I have learned so much. I've been talking about that since I was about fourth, fifth grade. I feel like I've learned everything there is to know about, you know, what went on during that time. But it's so many people, so many, you know, people and important figures that a lot of times we do not know. And I feel like in schools especially, they teach a lot of the same material, and
so they do you teach feel like
a lot of the same material. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. So do you feel like they're trying to take out Black history out of the textbooks or the education system here in America?
I do. And my whole thing is there's already so little in there as it is. You know, Rosa Parks and MLK were not the only two leaders in civil rights history. And I think they did amazing. Don't get me wrong. They are pioneers. And I think they are the faces behind civil rights. But they were not the only two leaders. Like, I think one thing that a lot of people really do not know is that Rosa is credited for being, okay, you know, what do you know her for? Let me ask you this. What do you know Rosa Parks for?
Well, I would guess with everyone mostly known her for is she stood up for civil rights. I mean, you know, held her ground, you know, standing on that bus, not removing herself from that seat because she, you know, she was tired. Long day at work. I don't want to move either. So, I mean, I don't blame her. And I'm very glad that, you know, that she was brave enough to do that for our people, especially during that time, knowing the consequences of her doing that, but still doing that, you know? So,
and why her bravery is commended, she was not the first person to protest and stay on a bus. She was actually the second.
I did not know that. Who was the first?
Mm-hmm. It was a young teenage mother named Claudette Colvin. And she was a teenage mom at the time, you know, in the 50s, 60s. So it was definitely frowned upon. But she never, you know, she was the first to do it. She just never got the recognition.
Why do you think that is?
Because she was a teenage mama. And I think, you know, in some cases it could be frowned upon today. But I think during that time, definitely, it was definitely heavily frowned upon. You know, because you figure the ultimate goal back then for a lot of women would be to get married, have children, you know, and probably call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think back then it's just, okay, you're a mom, you're young, we have a child out of wedlock, you know, stuff like that. Definitely a lot of judgment and, you know, probably harsh from some of the seniors that she was around. So I think, you know, that's what, you know, prevented her from becoming the face, one of the faces of the bus boycott.
I mean, either that or, and thank, actually, for one, thank you for educating me on that. I did not know. Claudette, say that one more time.
Claudette Colvin.
Claudette Colvin. You know, I'm going to look that up. I'm going to see if you're right. No, it's fine. It's fine. But, no, wow. So, do you feel like their life stories, well, I guess, hold on. My question is, do you think the upbringing made a huge difference of the, who's more, I wouldn't say more popular, but who's more known?
What do you mean? Like, as far as the morals back then?
Well, you said that she was a teenage mother, right? During the, the 50s, 60s, and Rosa Parks was maybe a little older, what, maybe her 40s, 50s, I would assume. Actually, how old was Rosa? 30s, let me look this up.
Going on 40, somewhere in there, yeah, middle aged.
Yeah. I'm actually curious right now. Let's see. When bus. Okay, she was 42. During that, she was 42. Okay, cool. I did not know that. Wow, I thought she was a lot older than that. Mm-hmm. Well, I need a tea. That is crazy.
Because she died in 2000. I think she was like in her 90s.
I think 2005. I believe so, 2005. So she lived a good life. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess a lot of people don't know about Claudette being the first person to actually stand up in that sense. Thank you for that. Like, I really didn't know that. Actually, just to verify.
There are so many people who often do not get talked about, who, you know, Black figures who do not get talked about enough, you know, from W.E.B. Du Bois to Mary Pyle Bethune to, you know, Marcus Garvey, Shirley Chisholm, who was, you know, the first African-American congresswoman, you know, and Booker T. Washington, you know, people like that, Jackie Robinson, Medgar Evers, you know, a lot of people who often go unrecognized. Like, if I was to ask you right now, Sydney, what does NAACP stand for? Without looking it up.
Dang, you doing me dirty. See, I know it, but it says I'm on the spot. Is it, okay, is it national? Is that the first word?
Mm-hmm.
NAA. African American?
Mm-mm.
It's not African American? NAA. Hold on, don't tell me.
Dang, you better not be looking it up.
No, I ain't looking it up. You just make me look bad at my own podcast. It's crazy. this is crazy. My uncle gonna listen to this like, dang, nephew, you let me down. I know what NAACP is, okay? Just let y'all know. I know what it is. But what it stands for, I'm gonna need you to tell me.
National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Yeah, I would have not guessed that. I'm not gonna lie. I would not have guessed that. And who's the founder of this?
Great question. I used to know off the top of my head. Let me look that up. Okay, yeah, I guess you put me on the spot of that as well.
Yeah. Now, you get. So.
And we're just going to go back and forth about Black history. See who know what. See it.
Oh, well, no, this is about politics, not Black history. Hold on to money.
It was actually different people, a lot of people, but they range from Bishop Alexander Walters, Oswald Garrison Villard, Henry Moskowitz, William English Walling, so Mary White Ovington. So it was founded by 14 people, and those are just the name of you.
Okay, so those are like basically the founders that really put the group together in a sense.
But I did know that it was a mixture of Black and white people who founded the NAACP. Yeah.
Now that I did not know. Thank you for another history known fact. So I guess while we're on that, do you think, why do you think why do you think more Black people are Democrats versus more white people being Republicans or liberals and conservatives or in that nature? Why do you think?
I think it kind of goes back to our history. Mm-hmm. And stuff. Now, over the course of history, things have definitely changed. If you look back, even back during the Civil War era, mm-hmm. Dems were pro-slavery, while Republicans were anti. Mm-hmm. And I think over time that has changed, and I think that a lot of times with conservatism today, and this is just my opinion on it, with conservatism, I don't see where people of color fit in to their views, their ideologies. You know, I don't see where we benefit in any way, shape, or form when it comes down to conservatism.
Okay, give us one example of what they believe in, if you don't mind.
Well, just as an example, and this is just not, you know, for all conservative people, but case in point, Project 2025, which is being pushed by Republicans. One of the biggest things that they are pushing is to get rid of the DEI, you know, that's diversity, you know, diversity and inclusion, and it, you know, could possibly eliminate affirmative action and also take a lot of things out of American school books. And like I said, you know, Black history is already limited within itself of what it is that, you know, children are taught. A lot of the stuff that I was taught about Black founders and Black leaders and Black inventors and stuff was outside of, you know, outside of school, that my mom enforced in us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eliminating that, the history that's already limited within itself, and then pushing, well, you know, we should be learning about this, learning about that. It just, it surprises me that Americans do not want to go back and actually, talk about the past. Like, I don't understand that, you know, actually talk about what happened on American soil. They don't want to revisit the bad. They don't want to revisit anything that makes America look less than great. So, but I feel like you can't move forward without acknowledging your history.
No, I agree. Because if we, I 100% agree with you in there. Because if we ignore it, then we're just going to repeat it.
Yes, I mean, and history does repeat itself. Like, I look at, you know, the fact that the main three amendments that helped Black people in the early, maybe late 1800s, from slavery to, you know, from slavery time to civil rights, for the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Mm-hmm. 13th, you know, abolishing slavery. 14th, if I have this correct, I hope I don't butcher this. I know the 13th abolished slavery.
Correct.
I want to say the 14th stated that anybody born on American soil was to be considered an American citizen, and the 15th gave Black people, i.e. Black men, the right to vote. And the fact that, you know, those amendments are being challenged still even today, you know, you have people, you know, in the powers that be trying to put different things in place to make it harder for people of color to vote. Is, you know, it's crazy, but I feel like if you don't know your history and know about the different tests, you know, that they tried to set in place, you know, to stop people from voting, you wouldn't mm-hmm. realize that it's systemic. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And I think we have to talk about that. We have to acknowledge that. And I think, like I said, just to bring it back to what it is that I was saying, you know, when it comes down to being conservative, I just don't know where I, as a Black woman, fit into their plan or their ideology. Mm-hmm. And you do have Black conservatives, and I feel like you have the right to be whoever it is that you want to be. If you want to be conservative, do your thing, absolutely. But for me personally, I just don't see where I fit in.
No, I agree with you, right? Like, at the end of the day, this is America, so you have the right to do whatever you choose, to vote for whoever you choose, right? But I feel like a lot of times, we as Americans, including myself, we vote based on what others tell us, right? Instead of doing the information ourselves or doing the research of ourselves, like, and why should I vote for this person? Why should I not vote for this person, instead of listening to your family member that tells you why to vote for them when they don't even know why to vote for them too? They just say that because, oh, he's Black, that's why. Or, oh, he's white, that's why. Or, oh, he's going to benefit me in this way, but not in this way. You know? And so I feel like us as American people, we need to educate ourselves and not just doing it just to, you know, join the wagon bus or whatnot. But
we definitely need to educate ourselves, because people will see stuff, take it and run with it and constantly share it. And, mm-hmm. you know, next thing you know, you're looking at this person a certain way. Like, case in point, for example, a little bit after Kamala had announced that she was running, there was this image on Facebook that was going around, and it was her at this luncheon. Mm-hmm. And just by looking at it first glance, it was with a lot of women, and a lot of them appeared to be white women. Okay. And there was a person in the corner. It was a Black man who, I guess, was supposed to be the server for the luncheon. And the title read, somebody shared it saying, you know, this is who y'all want to vote for. She's supposed to be for Black people, but look who all attended this luncheon. And literally the luncheon, they try to make it seem like this was something that was recent. The luncheon was of her and all the women of Congress. And it was just like, I would just say to anybody, stop getting your information on, you know, the president's, you know, the presidency, what's going on. Stop getting it off of TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. Please do research for yourself, because you have people who are just honestly anti-Kamala, anti-Trump, who will take things and they'll run with it. They'll fabricate stuff. They'll stretch stuff. They'll make lies. And although I'm not a Trump supporter or a Trump fan in any way, shape, or form, I don't believe in lying on anybody.
No, and I agree.
Just like your own research. Don't let people, you know, don't let anybody influence you or have you turn any which, you know, turn you in a certain direction or turn you in a certain way just because maybe they see somebody in a certain light. If you are a Trump supporter, be a Trump supporter. That's you. If you vote for Kamala, vote for Kamala. But don't allow false narratives and lies and fear mongering and everything else to deter you from what's actually important. Like, Kamala, she's been getting so much backlash from people on the right side. Like, I every day, you know, when I casually scroll on Facebook just to see, you know, what's going on, anything new, I see so much Kamala hate for no apparent reason. Honestly, it's just like, okay, if you don't want to support her, that's one thing, but to try to tear her down is crazy.
Honestly, and I feel like, and I hate to be that guy, but I mean, if we're going to point it out, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying from my view. Honestly, I think she's getting this hate because, one, obviously she's a colored woman running for president, and two, she is a woman, right? And we haven't had as many women run for president, which is a great thing. It's a great thing that we have a woman running for president. But I don't think America's used to that, or I don't think America wants a quote unquote colored woman for president. You know what I mean? I mean, we're, because you know the stereotypes of what they say about women in general, right? So let alone having a woman ruling your country. Me personally, I would love a woman to rule my country, but I'm just speaking from the general perspective of what Americans think. And I don't think they should think like that, right? Just because you're a certain gender doesn't mean you can't do a certain thing in a sense. But that's just my two cents of how I think of it. But obviously, that's why I think mostly she's, and she has left. Wow. Okay. Well, Amani just has left my podcast. Okay, sorry about that. Amani's Wi-Fi dropped, so she exited the call. So I had to pause it, but I'm just going to edit that out so you guys don't have to worry about that. But as I was saying, that is my reason why I think people are very, I wouldn't say angry at her, but they don't want her to be president because she's a colored woman and they're not used to that. And they don't want that to happen because they see that as a fear. They're scared. At least that's how I think.
Which I don't really understand, because I was talking to a friend and we were kind of going back and forth on whether or not she agreed with the idea of Kamala Harris being president. And I asked, she said no, and I asked her what was her reasoning, and she said, well, you know, I just don't feel like a woman, you know, that's a woman's place. Like, I think that, you know, why would you want to be in that position, and, you know, it'll cause so much stress and send you into early menopause and all some stuff like that. And so I kind of, we're going back and forth, and but, you know, in a positive way, like it wasn't, you know, anything negative. But I asked, I was just like, you know, you could be on any job. You could be a nurse, a teacher, a janitor, a sanitation worker, and experience stress on a job like that. It doesn't matter what job. You could be a lunch lady and experience you know, stress on a job. I think it's levels to it, and, you know, with being the president, I think there's a lot more stress come with it, absolutely. But Kamala is 50 plus. I'm sure I'm sure she will eventually, just by, you know, just naturally experience menopause. I don't think her being president will send her into early menopause. She's 50 plus. Looks good, but she's 50 plus. So I think if she hasn't already, she's going to experience it naturally just because, you know, she's a woman of a certain age. And, you know, I didn't really agree with her rhetoric. Like, to me, it doesn't matter whether she's a woman, man, anybody should have that chance and opportunity to run for president. You know, and it annoys me when people say, well, a woman would be too emotional. Well, a woman is this, a woman is that. Not at all. You have a president, well, you know, former president anyway. Donald Trump was emotional. Donald Trump, he, you know, got upset when, you know, somebody agreed with anything other but himself. You know, so it's just like, regardless of, men have showed their emotions in these seats. So just don't really know.
No, you can continue. What were you about to say? I'll let you finish.
Oh, no, what were you finna say?
No, I was just going to say, so do you think Americans think that women go off of their emotions versus facts?
Yeah, probably so. I think a lot of people have that in their head.
So, and I agree with you with Trump. Like, at the end of the day, we're humans. We all have emotions and whatnot. That's just a given. But I don't think that should stop a woman from becoming president. Like, this isn't the 60s anymore. This isn't the 50s, where obviously that was 100% inevitable for a woman to do that, just because of the rules and regulations during that time. But obviously, since we've progressed throughout history, us as humans, we have more rights, right? More speaking to color people, we have more rights that are granted for us. So therefore, we were able to step in these positions that we thought we could never do, even 20 years ago. Like, who would have known 20 years ago we have a woman running for president, let alone a color woman? You see what I mean? Back in 2016, when Hillary ran against Trump, we honestly thought Hillary was going to win until the last minute. But the fact that she even got close to becoming president, it just says a lot. Yes. So I feel like,
yes.
I feel like Hillary running for president, I feel like that just gave Kamala another boost of self-esteem. Like, hey, man, like, she can do this. I'm pretty sure I can do this, you know, and I'm all for it. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care what gender rules this country, as long as they're making it a better place for us. That's all that really matters.
Being inclusive, thinking about the greater good, you know,
exactly.
Thinking about everyone when they're making different policies, not just the rich, not just white people, you know, everyone.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I feel like that's what, from what I've seen, I feel like that's what Kamala stands for. And, you know, she has my vote, you know? So if my uncle is listening to this, I hope you're happy. No, it's fine. It's fine. But no, I 100% agree with you. I stand for everything you do. And I mean, I guess we'll just have to see in November, right?
Whew. Yes, I will say to any and everyone who will listen to this podcast, please make sure that you are registered to vote. It takes literally 5 minutes or less. The amount of time it may take for you to scroll, and it'll take longer for you to sit up here and scroll and waste time doing all that. Please go and make sure that you are registered to vote. Please vote early if you can. Do not wait until the day of to go and vote, and you don't necessarily know where your precinct is at. Please vote early, and if you do wait until the day, please know where your precinct is at. Please make sure that your address is updated. Please make sure everything that if you have changed, please make sure you go to the Board of Elections or whomever that you need to go to make sure that your address is changed so that you're in the right precinct to go vote. It is so crucial that you get out and vote this November, regardless of who side you're on. Get out, exercise your right to vote, please.
Exactly. No, and I agree. Thank you for that. You know, and one person can literally dictate of who becomes president. Literally one vote. Literally.
Yes, it can. And I can't stand with people. My vote doesn't matter anyway. I think it's all rigged. You do not know that. You do not know that. And even if it is, get out and vote anyway, because the ancestors didn't have the chance to. So get out and vote, please. Exactly. If you're a woman, get out and vote. 104 years ago, we didn't have the right to vote. So, you know, get out and do what you got to do.
Look at you. Look at that, spitting that positivity. I like it. I like it.
Yes. Please get out and vote. We need it.
No, and I agree. We need it more than ever, especially where our society is leading at. I mean, it is getting chaotic, and I don't know what we're gonna do. So the first thing we can start by, you know, voting for a great president. So like Monty said, get your butts off this couch, stop listening to this podcast, and go vote. Well, finish the podcast, then go vote. Yeah, I'm gonna need y'all to finish this podcast, but and then go vote. But yeah, it's been good. So, well, thank you. I appreciate that, Imani. That was some very good insight, some good information that you shared with my wonderful audience. Is there any last words you'd like to say?
That probably should have been my last words.
You got to think of something else, man.
The message I would say to the people, please, like I said earlier, get out and go vote. Vote early. Please make sure that you are registered. That's the biggest thing. And also, please make sure that your address is up to date so that you're in the right precinct. Please vote early if you can. Don't wait till the day of, but if you have to wait until the day of, please make sure you know where it is to go. This election is so important. It's so important. And the biggest thing that you do not want to do is lose the opportunity while you have it, regardless of what side you sit on, what side
I agree. Stand, I agree.
Who you're voting for. Please not let this opportunity waste you by. Please show up to the polls in November. Your vote is your voice. If you have anything to say, say it at the polls.
No, and I 100% agree with you. And thank you for that wonderful message for us and to me as well. And that was a great message. You did well. I'm very proud of you. I'm very, very, very proud of you. This is where you say thank you now.
I'm happy to be.
No, I'm just fine.
For listening.
That is
fine. I'm so happy to be here, and I appreciate you all for listening to Life Between the Young Eyes.
I appreciate that, Monty. I really do appreciate the support, and thank you for joining me on here. And you know, making the time out for me. You didn't have to, but you did. So highly appreciate it, you know, educating us once more and just learning more about the life of politics. But yeah, we're going to end it here, folks. Thank you for joining in. Hope you learned something with you. Make sure you share it with your wonderful, beautiful friends and family. And until then, remember to stay humble, stay hopeful. Sit us out. Peace.